Do me a favor and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Of course, if we're doing Charlie Brown Christmas, we'd be Luke chapter 2. I thought that was too obvious, so I was going to pre-stage Charlie Brown. So when you do watch the Charlie Brown Christmas show, you'll kind of have the lead-in story. And the reason I think I got invited to speak tonight is because typically I teach on Wednesday nights to most of the kids who are up here singing. It is absolutely the favorite thing that I do all week. I look forward to it. I look forward to your smiling faces. These kids who are up here singing, they have the most wonderful hearts and the most wonderful spirits. They love the Lord. They love the scriptures. And the greatest time of my life is Wednesday nights, getting to teach them, go to work and whatever. Of course, I have lovely children at home that I just think I just sold out, but that wasn't my intent. I've a child at home who's listening. I feel like an idiot now. But I think you guys know what I meant. That the time on Wednesday nights teaching these kids is really a terrific special time. And a chance to open the scriptures and talk to each other and encourage each other in spiritual things. And it's impossible to approach the Christmas story, the Christmas story, and not think about Mary, the Virgin Mother of Jesus. While we don't worship her, there are religions that worship Mary. We don't. We believe that only God deserves our true worship. We believe that Jesus Christ is God, and so he, as well as God the Father, deserve our worship. But tonight I want to show you what a wonderful example Mary is. And the title of the lesson is Mary, the Eternal Example. And you know, Mary is in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will stand forever. And so in that sense, Mary is our eternal example. And anyways, it's in Luke. I would read the whole Luke 1 and 2, and we would all have a terrific time, except we don't have enough time. Luke chapter 1 presents the epic story. Luke chapter 1 and about the first half of chapter 2 present the epic stories of the miraculous birth of John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ. These are famous, famous people, right? Changed the world, those two. And tonight I intend on being brief. So allow me just to focus a bit on just a couple verses here in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read, though, so we all get it, in case you came without a Bible. I'm going to read verse 26 down to verse 38. So Luke 1, 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." We all know Mary. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." And that end, if you want to sometimes, right, I want to lay out all the points and build up and crescendo you in. It's just better to cut to the chase. If you're going to ignore anything, just focus on verse 38. You may be able to get there without me. I'm going to try and get you there. But it's all the business tonight's coming out of verse 38. But start out in 26, right? 26 and 27. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, right? He's sent to Mary, And he said unto her in verse 28, right? The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And what I want to say to you tonight is God has something to say to you. God himself has something to say to you. I would teach this to our kids. If none of the adults in here, they know I would say this to them. God has a message for you. It's not going to be that you're going to be the mom of the Messiah because that job's already been filled. But God's got plenty other jobs going on. And you see here, whenever, verse 28, the angel Gabriel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Think about this. You're like, man, I'm not highly favored. You are. You yourself, sitting here tonight, you are highly favored. How do I know that? Right? This Christ who came and was born in the manger, we are confident and know with no shadow of a doubt that that Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, right? He departed eternal heaven to come and be born amongst men and to live a full, pure, perfect life and to ultimately die a sacrificial death for each one of us. Hail, thou that art highly favored. If you're sitting here, if you've had the pleasure of ever comprehending those words, take no thought, no doubt of the value of yourself. It's not because you're great. It's not because you've been reading self-help and self-esteem books. It's because God has looked down at you and said, Hail. You are so highly favored. I have of my own will given my Son that he might redeem you back unto me. Hail, thou that are highly favored among women. Hail, thou that are highly favored, whom God loves so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Nice job on that verse, Joycelyn. Where'd you go, Joycelyn? There you are. Nice job. God has something to say to you. You know, things get exciting when the angel Gabriel shows up. Of course they did here. And we know from Elijah that God doesn't always send angels to speak to us. Oftentimes, he sends a still small voice. So in your anticipation of listening for God, you know, it's highly probable you're not going to get the Bethlehem Star in the angel Gabriel. If you do, count me among the jealous. But you know what you will get? The highest probability is that still small voice of God who speaks to you. And he's faithful to speak. And you know, some of us are not paying attention and oftentimes will have to repeat himself. But that still small voice will call you. And we'll call you, and we'll call you. Like Jesus, when he showed up to the tomb, right? And Mary's there, and Mary's just broken down. Jesus is dead, the tomb, they can't find him. She's distraught. And you know what God in his infinite wisdom knew to say? He just stood there. Mary thought he was the gardener, right? She's kind of dismissing him, and she's so preoccupied with all the cares of the world. And finally, Jesus just says her name. He just says, Mary. That's one of the most tender passages in all the scriptures. Listen for God to say your name, not behind a beaming star, not necessarily amongst the manger, right? Not with the angel Gabriel and his trumpets. Those of you that don't know, my youngest brother's first name is Gabriel, and his middle name is Trumpet, that crazy joker. Well, I guess my parents' crazy jokers for naming him that. It's likely Gabriel, well, I mean, my brother might show up and holler at you, but the angel Gabriel is, it's unlikely, right? It's unlikely, but God's still small voice, anticipate it, trust it, know that God loves you. He esteems you highly. He has a message for you. So listen, tune into his frequency and hear what he has to say. Skipping on down here, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. What God has to say to you, it's big news. It's actually huge news. If I was better at imitating people, I would obviously imitate Trump with a huge over here, right? In Mary's case, she was going to bear the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. At times at Christmas, right, we think of Jesus in the manger, and we really miss this point. that this small babe sitting in a manger is honestly, he is the eternal I am. He is the Christ, right? He is the Messiah. No one in the Old Testament read Christ and didn't comprehend that that is the chosen one, the promised, who will come and rule and reign on David's throne. That's who's here. That was the message that Mary had. It was big time, right? It was worthy of any marquee and any headline of all eternity. It was the biggest news. Your call may not be so grand, right? It may not be. You may not give birth to the Messiah. I said already that job's been taken, right? So you got to have another job coming up. Think about some of the jobs that have been given out in Scripture. Ezekiel was called just simply to stand in the gap. Daniel was called to endure the lion's den. The Hebrew children were called what? To endure the fiery furnace. And they were prepared, knowing God could turn off the heat, knowing God could preserve them. But they said, doesn't matter, we're going. We are not concerned to answer thee in this wise, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Gideon was called to go to battle with just 300 men. He had a whole heap more that available to him, but he was called just to go with 300. The widow of Zarephath, perhaps one of my favorites, was called to share her very last meal. Growing up as a kid, my dad, we would eat ice cream. We were blessed, wonderful family, godly parents. We'd be at home, sitting on the couch, probably watching sports or something, eating a bowl of ice cream or something really good. And my dad was evil eye and sixth sense. He would wait until you had about one bite left. He would say, let me have a bite of that. I'm like, man, Dad, you saw me when I got this. I offered to get you a bowl. He's like, I just want a bite. And you're like, I just got one bite left, man. And you know, I will tell you what certainly was the right answer always with my dad, hand the joker the bowl. If you know my dad, he like put me in a headlock and bust me up. But I think Dad was teaching us actually a spiritual lesson there, right? And so many times, I can't tell you, many times I would hand him the bowl with the last bite, and I would do my best to just put on a smile like I was glad to give him the last bite. I maybe wasn't, Gianna, but I acted at least like I was like, Dad, here, you deserve it. You're so awesome, Dad. And many times he would just hand the bowl back and go, I was just testing. I was just seeing if you're willing to, right? That's not a bad spiritual application there, right? But this widow of Zarephath, it wasn't such an obvious test. I had known my dad my whole life, and I knew he was kind of just messing with me at least half the time. The widow of Zarephath, right? The prophet comes up and he's like, hey, I need you to go cook me something. Bring me some water. She's like, were you kidding me? I have enough meal for one cake. My son and I were going to go eat it and die. He's like, it's good. Trust me. Go make me a cake. And you know what that woman did? She went and made the prophet a cake. And they all ate, her son, and her prophet, till the famine was concluded. She wasn't called to bear the Messiah. She was literally called to just make something for someone to eat. And that was no less God's voice calling her than the angel Gabriel saying, hey, Mary, check it out. You're going to bear the Messiah. What is the message God has for you? What is the call that God has for you? Again, it's most likely going to be that still small voice. Very likely is not going to be bearing the Messiah. You may think it's trivial, but it may change the world. Imagine the course of history if we had lost Elijah at that point. Queen Esther was called to go uninvited into the king. She was scared to death. She was honestly scared to death, but she went. Because she comprehended, right? It was such a time as this, and those wise words from Mordecai. Paul was encouraged to endure shipwreck. What is it that God is calling you, or God will call you to do? Don't be looking for, you know, the marquee sign. It's not going to be on Fox News. It's going to be in a still small voice. Luke 1:34, skip down. Then Mary said unto the angel, this is really obviously a kind of obvious question. She's like, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? What I want to make the point crystal clear here especially for those of you who haven't grown up in church, and maybe you're just here visiting because, you know, some of these cute kids you know, and you're here to support them. God bless you. We're glad you're here. Let me tell you, it is not inappropriate. It's actually human nature to question God. It's incredibly human nature. But let me counsel you on how to question God. Don't do it in pride or vanity, lifting yourself up like, listen, I am such a stinking genius. I've figured all this out. So God, go ahead and explain to me. No, that's not the way to do it. And it's obvious from the text that that's not how Mary did it. It was more like just like, I don't even understand. How can this happen, God? The widow of Zarephath, there's no doubt in my mind that she questioned in her heart. Now, she didn't say the words out, at least they're not recorded in Scripture. She had to have questioned, making the cake. I don't know how this is going to work. But she did it, right? In Mary's case, she actually asked the question, hey, angel, check it out. I don't get it. How's this going to work? But she did not say it in vanity, in pride, in challenging the authority or the ability of God. She was just like, I don't understand. John the Baptist, the guy, he had the privilege of saying when people messed with him, he was like, check it out, read the Old Testament. That's me. None of us in here get to do that. John did. I could not have had that happen. I would have been so vain. I would be like, hey, Chris, you read Isaiah lately? Right? I would just taunt people. I'm in the Old Testament. Check it out. How cool am I? But John the Baptist, with those credentials, sent his disciples to Jesus and are like, are you really the Messiah? This is after John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He still sent his disciples and are like, are you really the Messiah? It is human nature to ask the question. It's human nature to ask the question in vanity and pride, thinking I know all and no one, including God, can know more than me. I'm out. And I think God actually is out on that attitude. But if you come to God in sincerity and in humility and say, God, I just don't understand. Help me understand. Help thou mine unbelief. You think he won't help you? You think he doesn't have an answer? He does. So I think it's actually fair that Mary asks this question. Verse 37, 38, tie these two together. Do you know why? The kids know in Awana, man, I'm asking questions. They're telling me answers, right, Mallory? Oh, we're all mixing it up in there. I had a whole bunch of questions I wanted to ask the kids, but then sometimes it goes sideways, and I was scared for it to go sideways in here, Pastor, so we kept the questions to the minimum. But in 37, do you know what the angel is referencing? Why he says, for with God nothing shall be impossible? He's referencing the birth of John the Baptist, because that shouldn't have happened. That was a true miracle. And God so oftentimes will do sequential miracles to help us comprehend, right? The resurrection of Lazarus, the timing of that was impeccable to give the disciples and give the followers of Christ, right, the apostles, the comprehension that he, in fact, does have power over death and the grave. And he does and can and will, in fact, rise again the third day. Right? God's miracles and the timing of them often are not coincidental. They're coincident with God's will and God's revelation. And in this case, Elizabeth is bearing John the Baptist, and that's just a reminder for Mary. Hey, check it out. God's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants, and he's going to make this happen. So then, the actual point of the lesson here tonight, verse 38. So after hearing, right, these things, Mary finally and very simply just says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So I just want to ask, right? God has something to say to you. It's going to be huge news, probably in a small voice. You're going to have, just by nature, you're going to want to question and challenge and ask and understand. It is your choice, then, to humbly place yourself before God and available. And that's exactly what Mary did. In Venezuela, Jennifer and I had a chance to live in Venezuela for a while. It's been a long time ago. My Spanish is terrible now. But you would walk into a store, all kinds of contexts, you would walk in, open the door, And there would be clerks in stores. And their natural immediate reaction when you walked in was a la orden. You'd walk in any store, a la orden. And basically, I actually looked it up because it was so ubiquitous in this country, it's a phrase with a military origin meaning at your command. Now, I can tell you, the clerks in these stores, they may have made those words come out of their mouth. They weren't exactly living the at your command point. They were like, I'm at your command if you want me to do something that I was kind of already on my way to do. But at least they had the words down. They're like, a la orden, I'm at your command, I'm at your service. Right? It's kind of like the American equivalent, how can I help you? So think about that a la orden, or I'm at your command, as your natural knee-jerk reaction to when God's still small voice calls you out. Right? I'm at your command. Here I am. Let me just hold up. I'm ready. What do you have for me? Yesterday, Lauren was in some crazy crew races. They're down on a starting line, right? When they say go, you don't stand around like, well, I wonder what we should do now. Does anyone have any idea? Right? They say go, and you better go, or you're not going to win the race, right? With that same kind of urgency, when the still small voice comes in your ear, it comes in your heart, right? With confidence, you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. What are you doing? You're listening, and you comprehend it. Very likely you will have questions, but we as believers, like a good fine-tuned athlete, should be preparing and exercising ourselves so that we can bolt out of the starting line and go, yes, God, I'm here, I'm at your service, I'm ready. What is it you would have me to do? Oh, you want me to bear the Messiah? That's awesome, I'm good for that. Oh, that's crazy. You want me to go and pray with the shutters open? They're going to throw me in the lion's den. You want me to get on this boat and go that way to the people that are for sure going to kill me when I get there? How about I go the other way? Oh, getting eaten by a whale, that's crazy too. All right, I'll go the way you want me to. Right? God has work for you to do. God had work for Mary. She was relatively a young girl. But you know what? Her spirit was in tune with God. She heard the angel. She did question him. Again, fair. But you know where she ended? I'm at your service. Let's do this. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, right? It applies to any of us. For those in here who have thus far in your life rejected God, the call's simple, right? The Lord is not willing that any should perish. Your response is, yes, Lord, I'll take salvation today. Those of us in here who know God and love God, you know what our call is? To be ready. Whatever He has for us, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever He has, that's what I'm going to go do. And I'm going to trust that there's nothing morally or spiritually wrong with me that questions come into my mind. I'm going to recognize that's actually a normal part of being a believer in God's service. But you know what? By faith, I'm going to take the first step. And I'm going to go. Pastor preached a while back about, right, we work and we do everything as if it's on us. But then in faith, we know that all of the work is on God. And that we nonetheless go forth, right? Think about it. I bring you good tidings of great joy. God has stuff for you to do. You're not useless. You're not here without a reason. This isn't a big cosmic accident. God, the Creator, has stuff for you to do. That purpose, right? That's great. See John Moore over there. That man's a worker. I love that, right? Get up and go to work and let's be about the business. We all have to make a living day to day. But we also are spiritually seeking out what it is that God has for us that we might be productive in His will and in His plan, right? How fulfilling is that? This Christmas season, will you be listening for God's still small voice as it calls you to repentance, to humility, and to service? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love. Lord, we thank you for these beautiful children who stood up here and sang, Lord, and gave glory to your name. You alone are worthy of our praise and worship, and we bow humbly before you and worship you in your goodness and your truth. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for every good gift, because we know every good gift comes from you. Lord, I pray now that you would help us, Lord, to listen intently for your still small voice, that we might comprehend what it is that you would have us to do. And Lord, like Mary, we would say, let's go. I'm at your service. I'm at your command. Whatever it is, Lord, it's not too small. It's not too big. I'm here. A la orden, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.